I'd like to each of you to give your attention to our brother Gordon and to give him your prayers. Thank you.
Good evening. It's good to see each one of you here tonight. As always, I enjoy seeing each one of you and be able to have this opportunity to stand before you this evening. This evening, I have some thoughts I hope that I could be able to present to you that you can understand some of the things that are going through my heart and mind that has been going through them all week long. One of the things that I would like to draw your attention to was during the sacrament service of Brother Placido, he read a scripture verse, and I want to share it with you tonight and also share a few other verses in that same chapter, and that's in 1 John in the 4th chapter. If you remember correctly, he read the 4th verse, but I'd like to read 1 through 4 first and then 5 and 6. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now already it is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And that last verse 4, was what he had gave to us that morning on the sacrament service. And it really kind of hit me between the eyes, that little scripture verse, where I hadn't utilized its full potential in my life. You know, I marvel at the power of God and how He brings us inch by inch along in our lives, and be able to use those things that He has caused to be written to help us in our lives. And one of the things that I saw here when it was one of those kind of tools that Brother Joel talks about. It's part of our armor that we have that we can use in our daily life, and we can use it as a tool for us. And I have been using that in those things that I hear and read here in the news and read in the newspaper of current events, the things that are going on around us in the world. There's a lot of things that are going on, and we've talked about it before, but there are a lot of things that are occurring in our country that we see that are not those things that we would like to see in our country, the direction in which it's going morally, the decisions that our leaders are making. We find that they are leading us down a path that is going to our destruction. And that could be very that could be very hard to deal with in your life. I know I have. I've got depressed from time to time, and I've talked to my wife. You know, I would tell her, you know, this is bothering me because I love my country so much, and I see it in where it's going, and it bothers me, and so I had to pray about it, and I had to put it in the right perspective, and this is one of those scriptures that helps me when I start feeling those little twinges of either doubt or even just where I start to feel down, that scripture comes in my mind, and I say it in my mind. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And it's amazing how powerful that scripture, when said in an eye of faith, can turn you right out of that. And could put you back on the path, help you to understand, you know, that you are just a traveler in time. Things are going to be occurring all around you. these are things that are planned, that are preordained, that is going to be occurring, and we're going to be a part of it. But God is going to be there with us throughout that whole ordeal, as long as we live. And then later on, that promise of eternal life and resurrection. Also, the other thing that I have been thinking on, and this is more in the thrust of what I'd like to speak to you about, has to do with, I have opportunity when I'm driving or whatever, I listen to the Christian stations, and more in particular, I listen to the different sermons. I want to know what the other men are preaching and teaching, and to be able to be prepared, you know, for those that are of that faith or of that bent and have been taught those things, what I should be doing and how I should be bringing them, if I interface with somebody of that belief, be able to bring them to the truth. And one of the things that we all struggle about, it was part of some of the testimonies that we heard, where we have friends and loved ones and neighbors who are not of the part of the gospel of Jesus Christ, who have not come to a belief of the Book of Mormon and understand its necessity, and yet they do good things, and we wonder about them and we are concerned about them. As a minister, we think about their eternal life. As friends, we do as well, but we find ourselves asking those questions. How is God going to judge them? How is He going to bring them or call them out? If those things that I see them doing, which are righteous, we know are righteous in that sense, why? What is it that they're missing in their life that they can see? And one of those things is what they're being taught is how they receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's consistent across the board as to that teaching. There's almost every minister that you hear on the radio or listen on the TV. The reception of the Holy Ghost comes from no man. And it only comes by way of all you have to do is accept Jesus Christ. And that seems universal in that teaching, except for us. And then that goes to what John is speaking of. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. That spirit, that gift, when you apply it in your life, when you use it, it is the thing that separates us from the world. That anchors us to our Lord, even Jesus Christ. Like in the second verse, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. The only way that individual can do that is by the power and the gift of the Holy Ghost within them, that they can speak that truth. Now you hear a lot of them, they say, you know, we believe in Christ and we have His Spirit. And we know and we understand that the Spirit will work with all mankind until the coming of our Lord. The only way we can understand the things of God is by the Spirit as it works within our lives to open up our understanding. And so I see that this is the one thing that is missing. The one thing that they miss the mark in their teachings, and cause a lot of pain and suffering in the world. In the fifth verse it says, they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. Now listen to what John says. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. And he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So I take courage in those things that I see here in the words of John, where when we have opportunity as individuals talking to our friends or neighbors or those other individuals who have not come to the full knowledge of Jesus Christ and those things of God, that as we are able to speak the truth, and if they have those ears that are open, that the Spirit has caused to be receptive to those things, they're going to hear and they're going to come. And so that truly, the truly righteous will come out of the world and seek truth because they're guided by that Spirit in that sense. Let's go into 1 Nephi in the third chapter. In the first Nephi, third chapter, verse 192. This is on page 38. We find here in Nephi's vision, he says, "And the angel spake unto me, saying, These last records, which thou hast seen among the Gentiles, shall establish the truth of the first, which are of the 12 apostles of the Lamb, and shall make known the plain and precious things which have been taken away from them, and shall make known to all kindreds, tongues, and people that the Lamb of God is the Son of the Eternal Father." Now, what we read in 1 John over here, the Spirit helping us to understand who Jesus was, we see here also that these records, which is speaking of the Book of Mormon that we have, is what the Spirit uses as He works with the individuals and helping them to understand who the Son of God is. Jesus Christ, when He was there with Him, He said, "I am the Son of God." But the only way that they could accept His words was by the way of the Spirit, helping them to understand that those words are true. Well, that is what this record and the record of the Bible is to do in the lives of the children of men. And more particularly, that because of the things that were not clear in the Bible, the Book of Mormon as a second testimony is going to be our tool in helping others to understand those things. "And the Savior of the world, and that all men must come unto Him, or they cannot be saved." And this is really the thrust that I have that I want to bring to your attention tonight. And this is the thing that I needed to fully understand to be able to help others that haven't come to that understanding come to. That all men must come unto Him, or they cannot be saved. And then verse 194, "And they must come according to the words which shall be established by the mouth of the Lamb." And so we find a lot of these teachings that we hear by other people, they do not have all of the words or all the teachings, and they lack those things that would bring them bring them to Christ. "And the words of the Lamb shall be made known in the records of thy seed, as well as in the records of the 12 apostles of the Lamb, wherefore they both shall be established in one. For there is one God and one shepherd over all the earth." And so tonight I want you to think about that verse 194, that they must come according to the words which shall be established by the mouth of the Lamb. And that's all mankind. That one of the things that we're called to do as the Church of Christ in these last days is to bring this record to the world. And that is one of the things that the world is rejecting today. One of the things I heard on the news, and it's a poll that they took, and they said that if a Mormon was to be chosen maybe to run for elections for president, the majority of the people would reject it. So that's our task ahead of us. Even though we know that Mormonism in itself teaches things that are opposite of the Book of Mormon, we have this hill to climb. Right? Whenever we mention the Book of Mormon, immediately everyone thinks about those things that are that the Mormons teach that are not of God. And so it causes a great stumbling block for those individuals who have been taught those things. And it is our task to be able to help them to come to a better understanding of what the Book of Mormon truly teaches. When I had opportunity to be with my family in Oregon, and I went to church with my brother and his wife and children, I had an experience. And I'd like to share it with you. It's in the book of Luke. And it was something that that I hadn't experienced before, but I guess because I don't normally go to another church service with other people. But when I was sitting there and they were having their church service and then they were having their sacrament service, and it was definitely different than how we would do it. And there the Lord directed me to a verse of Scripture in the book of Luke in the 13th chapter. It's something that that came alive, kind of similar to those things in 1 John. But it came alive because I was experiencing it. And I want to share it with you. Starting in verse 24, it says, "Strive to enter at the straight gate." Now, you've heard this verse of Scripture many, many, many times before. "For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and has shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know ye not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, We have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know ye not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and ye yourselves thrust out." That particular verse of Scripture, because I sat there and I watched my brother and his children and wife walk up and partake of those emblems of life, and I saw others do the same thing, and I saw that how dead the works were. And there was opportunity that they said if anyone would like to stand, that they could stand and bear their testimony. And, you know, I questioned in my heart and mind, Father, is this scripture verse that you've given me, is this what I should be saying here now, or should I be giving it to my brother and his family? And I struggled with that. And I didn't stand. It wasn't because I was embarrassed. I was afraid I was going to embarrass my brother and them. And maybe I was wrong. I don't know. Because I know the Lord, when he went to the synagogues, he would stand and he would read the Scripture, and the Spirit of God would work with the individuals there. But I do plan to give this to my brother and his family, to help them to understand that they have eaten and drunk in the presence of, they think, in the presence of God, and it's not going to be acceptable to him. And that's the hard thing, and that's the thing that's been I've been thinking about in my heart and mind and praying about, not just for my brother, but for the work that we have, this church here in our nation among the Gentiles. And it was brought up during the reunion, how there's many people. I bump into them at work. I talked to one of our project managers in another company. I was visiting with him. He knew I went to Africa, and he goes, he was telling me of an experience. His family is Catholic, and he went back to be at a funeral of his great aunt who had passed away. And he was telling me how disgusted he was with the Catholic Church and what they didn't do to comfort and help his family in their need, and how vacant and desolate it was. and how he was trying to explain to his family, you know, there's something better. And, you know, and then he goes on to tell me that, you know, he believes that, you know, there is no man-made church on the earth. It's that you just have to believe in Jesus Christ and he'll be filled with the Spirit. And that's what Christ was expecting. You know, and I tried to interject, well, that's not the full story. But he didn't want to hear it. And so the thing I'm trying to bring to your attention is there's a lot of people out there that can see the deadness of the works of what's going on throughout our country, in churches, every Sunday. And yet, I wonder in my mind, I talk to the Lord about, well, how do we reach these people? How do we deal? How do we give them this witness where they might hear? And then I think about those words in John, is that if they are truly being led by the Spirit of God, they will be receptive to that truth. And like Brother Jay said, you know, when he stood and he bore his testimony, he said, the only thing I have that is required of me is to be able to testify of those things that I know is true. And I'm not here to argue with you. And how true that is. You know, sometimes that's my nature. I want to have some conversation. I want to go back and forth or whatever. But many times that conversation is cut short. They don't want to hear it. One of the things I saw in the Book of Mormon, it's in Mormon, the fourth chapter. I'd like to go there and read that to you. You find that verse 32, it's on page 707. When Mormon was writing this, he was talking about the things that he was involved in, which was these records, and he goes, and verse 32, he says, "And behold, their prayers were also in behalf of him that the Lord should suffer to bring these things forth. And no one need say they shall not come, for they surely shall, for the Lord has spoken it, for out of the earth shall they come by the hand of the Lord, and none can stay it. And it shall come in a day that when it shall be said that miracles are done away, and it shall come even as if one should speak from the dead." One of the things I want to point to your attention to is in that 32nd verse where it says, "And behold, their prayers were also in behalf of him that the Lord would suffer to bring these things forth." And that was speaking of Joseph Smith and that work and those who were going to be involved in that work to bring forth this record. They felt the necessity to pray. Even though the Lord commanded them to keep these records and to write them and to be very diligent in those things, they still had the impress of the Spirit to pray for that work that was to take place. and that's where I'm coming from now concerning those, the people that we live around. Not all of us are going to be able to go to Africa or go to the Philippines or go to Honduras or to go to Yucatan. We all live here and we work and we raise our family. And there's a lot of things that we interface with a lot of people. And the Lord is expecting us to do a work and to be diligent in that work. I remember many, many years ago when we were praying here in this local, we fasted and prayed many times concerning the work, as to what the Lord was going to do, and what, you know, the work that he was going to open up. And those of you that are old enough, you can remember that. Well, I think we've come to the day now that we are going to have to be more diligent in our prayers concerning the work that is supposed to be here. I know we're focused, you know, outwardly, but there's also that work that we have to do here amongst our people that we live, our neighbors, and it starts with our earnest prayers and fastings for that work, that the God, that the Lord would open up those things, that we might be able to do that work and be an instrument in God's hands to help those who are out there be able to hear the truth. In the Book of Mormon, in the 17th verse, it's on 706, it says, "I'm the son of Mormon, and my father was a descendant of Nephi, and I am the same who hideth up this record unto the Lord. The plates thereof are of no worth because of the commandment of the Lord. For he truly saith, no one shall have them to get gain, but the record thereof is of great worth, and whoso shall bring it to light, him will the Lord bless. For no one can have power to bring it to light, save it be given him of God. For God will that it shall be done with an eye single to his glory, or the welfare of the ancient and the long dispersed covenant people of the Lord. And blessed be him that shall bring this thing to light, for it shall be brought out of darkness unto light according to the word of God. Yea, and it shall be brought out of the earth, and it shall shine forth out of darkness, and come into the knowledge of the people. And it shall be done by the power of God, and if there be faults, they be faults of man." That was the hope and the understanding that Mormon had, he that had those records at the end, that it was to come forth and it was going to shine a great light. And we possess it today. And that light is being trampled upon by the world. So we have a lot to do. A lot of work to do. In 3 Nephi, in the 10th chapter, in the words of Christ in verse 30, that's on page 666, it says, "Therefore give heed to my words, write the things which I have told you, and according to the times and the will of the Father, they shall go forth unto the Gentiles. And whosoever will hearken unto my words, and repenteth, and is baptized, the same shall be saved. Search the prophets, for many there be that testify of these things." Now, there's a word here in the 31st verse that is overused a lot in the Christian teachings. It's abused, let's just put it that way. And you're familiar with it. It's the word saved. And every time I hear somebody use it in a way that I know God did not intend it to be, it bothers me in my heart. It hurts me because that individual is thinking that he is one of those individuals who is drinking and in the presence of God, he's saved, or she's saved. And I've been called to say, unless you've come by the words of Christ, you're not saved. You're still lacking. And we of the Church of Christ, that's our responsibility. And sometimes it's not a very comfortable one in that sense. But it's something that God intends for us to do and to participate in, so that there will be no one that could stand in the presence of God and say that he was not told or forewarned. In 1 Nephi, in the 4th chapter, in the 16th verse, that's on page 44 through 19, he says, "And now the thing which our father meaneth concerning the grafting of the natural branches," this is the vision that Lehi had, and then Nephi is teaching it, "the natural branches through the fullness of the Gentiles, is that in the latter days when our seed shall have dwindled in unbelief, yea, for the space of many years and many generations, after the Messiah shall be manifested in the body unto the children of men, then shall the fullness of the gospel of the Messiah come unto the Gentiles, and from the Gentiles unto the remnant of our seed. And at that day shall the remnant of our seed know that they are of the house of Israel, and that they are the covenant people of the Lord. I don't believe that that's fully taken place. We know that the remnant, back in 1953, that remnant, the last surviving heir to the king in Yucatan, and his people acknowledged that this was their record. But there's many others here that in the United States of the seed of the Lamanites that have not accepted these things yet. And then shall they know and come to the knowledge of their forefathers, and also to the knowledge of the gospel of their Redeemer, which was ministered unto their fathers by him. Wherefore they shall come to the knowledge of their Redeemer and the very points of his doctrine, that they may know how to come unto him and be saved. There's that word again. And the very points of the doctrine. And those are the things that we try to do. Excuse me. We try to present to the world. And how often do you get it? Well, what are you, part of the law of Moses? You know, you want to keep the whole law? And we're saying, no, you need to understand that the law, you know, the law of Moses fulfilled. But there are those things that Christ expects the children of men to perform according to his commandments after the law of Moses. And so that's that cunning device that Satan has of putting that smokescreen in front of people where they can't see the truth. And we have to break through it to bring his people unto salvation. In 2 Nephi, in the second chapter, in the 30th verse there, this is on page 89, it says, "And he shall be like unto me, for the thing which the Lord shall bring forth by his hand, by the power of the Lord, shall bring my people unto salvation." Now, if you remember the study that I did and that I presented to you, "and he shall be like me," that was speaking of Joseph of old. Remember the story. He was the one, he was the instrument in God's hand in preserving Israel in the land of Egypt, okay? And so now, "he shall be like unto me," speaking of Joseph Smith and those who were to bring forth this Book of Mormon. "For the thing which the Lord shall bring forth by his hand, by the power of the Lord, shall bring my people unto salvation." And so it is a key element, a key tool that the Lord has given us to help us in that work. And you're saying, "Well, Gordon, we know this." But, you know, it's become more impressed upon me that when we're working with people, a lot of times we start with the Bible and help them to go and then gradually go into the Book of Mormon. But I honestly don't know if that would be the right way or not. Or if you just go full immersion, you know. I want you to understand that I am not depressed. I'm excited about the challenge that is ahead of us. I want you and I to be like Joshua when the Lord said, "There it is, go take it." And I say, "Okay, let's go." You know, I don't want us to be like Caleb and some of the other ones that didn't, that said, you know, "They're too powerful, too great, it's too much, I don't think we can do it." I want us to be like Joshua, where we're going to jump in the deep end, so to speak. So these are the things that have been going through my mind, and the Lord is helping me to sort out and to be able to plan my strategy in working with people. And I hope and pray that you're doing the same thing on an individual basis. In 2 Nephi, in the second chapter, 19 through 23, It says, "Wherefore the fruit of thy loins shall write, and the fruit of the loins of Judah shall write, and that which shall be written by the fruit of thy loins, and also the which shall be written by the fruit of the loins of Judah shall grow together unto the confounding of false doctrines and laying down of contentions and establishing peace among the fruit of thy loins and bringing them to the knowledge of their fathers in the latter days." So really the Book of Mormon is to give the people, the Lamanites and their seed, two things. Help them to understand who they are and help them to understand how they can approach the Lord. Well, it's not just for them. It's a witness for all the nations and kindreds, tongues, and peoples as we've been commanded. And so the interesting thing here is that I have found that I have listened to some speakers who are good speakers on the radio that come to the same conclusion, but it takes them a whole long ways. As an example, talking about the law of Moses and what it could do and what Christ was to do, they go a long ways and takes all these things out of the Bible and able to get to the same point when we can go over into the fourth chapter, third book of Nephi and say, where in the words of Jesus Christ, he says, "It has an end in me. It's done." Or we can go over there and say, "Circumcision was done away with the law. No confusion." I'm not saying they don't get to the same point, but it's a whole lot faster. And that's what the Book of Mormon is to do. And that's why we have, the Lord has blessed us and has given us this record that we can have that those things that Christ taught can be plain. To the understanding of the children of men, if they allow the Spirit to work within their hearts. In 2 Nephi, in the 11th chapter, verses 40-44. Here we find, "Wherefore, for this cause hath the Lord God promised unto me, that these things which I write shall be kept and preserved and handed down unto my seed, from generation to generation, that the promise may be fulfilled unto Joseph." Now, you remember what I read to you in 2 Nephi in the second chapter? So that this promise, it is part of the covenants that God had made with Joseph of old, okay? "That the promise may be fulfilled unto Joseph, that his seed should never perish as long as the earth shall stand. Wherefore these things shall go from generation to generation as long as the earth shall stand, and they shall go according to the will and pleasure of God. And the nations which shall possess them shall be judged of them according to the words which are written." Now you need to underline that thing and you need to dog-ear your Book of Mormon. Do whatever it is to try and remember that, because you're going to need to use that. You're going to need to use that verse of Scripture when you're talking to people, because it says very plainly, the nations which shall possess them, we possess this record. This nation, the United States, possess this record. Now Africa possesses it. The Philippines possess it. Honduras possess it. Now Brazil, you know. The Lord is going to use this. And why do I say that? Do you remember in the book of Revelation? Remember what it says? The books are open. The books are open, then the book. Those books, that's this. That's this record. And this record, those books that are going to be open and people are going to be judged according to it. Well, it's saying very plainly here, the nations which shall possess them shall be judged of them according to the words which are written. So they're going to stand before their Maker and be judged according to those things that are written in this book. And that's why it's so important. And maybe we should just start right out. If you believe in the Bible, good. Now I'm going to tell you about the Book of Mormon. Now I'm not going to do what I did during reunion and keep you a long time. I've got more stuff, but I'll kind of cut it down here a little bit. Let's go to third book of Nephi in the 7th chapter. Again, this would be verse 34 through 37. And this is the words of Christ. "And thus commandeth the Father that I should say unto you, at that day when the Gentiles shall sin against my gospel, and shall reject the fullness of my gospel, and shall be lifted up in the pride of their hearts above all nations, and above all the people of the whole earth, and shall be filled with all manner of lyings, and of deceits, and of mischiefs, and all manner of hypocrisy, and murders, and priestcrafts, and whoredoms, and of secret abominations. And if they shall do all these things, and shall reject the fullness of my gospel, behold, saith the Father, I will bring the fullness of my gospel from among them. And then will I remember my covenant which I have made unto my people, O house of Israel. I will bring my gospel unto them." Excuse me. "And I will shew unto thee, O house of Israel, that the Gentiles shall not have power over you, but I will remember my covenant unto you, O house of Israel, and ye shall come unto the knowledge of the fullness of my gospel." And I think we can all agree that this has already taken place. Many times I've preached about it, given you those things that the Lord had pinpointed, those times when the times of the Gentiles would be fulfilled, and you can find that in the book of Luke, in the 21st chapter. But, you know, when I read that, I have a tendency to go, okay, I don't need to work here anymore. My focus can be elsewhere. And then the Lord helped me to, brought my mind back and said, well, what about when I've said that, I'm going to be sending my prophets and those ahead of you before I destroy them. You know, that's a promise to the Lord. He's not going to destroy you unless he prophesies against you. And I see the Church of Christ as taking that role, testifying and helping individuals as much as possible to be able to understand that there is the light of Christ here for them to come to. And I guess I would ask myself, remember I talked to you about a little bit about prayer, if maybe we haven't prayed diligently enough, and we're like Elijah in the thinking we were the only ones that were left out of all Israel. But there were others that the Lord had preserved for a purpose. And so I have to be careful when I read these words that I don't just turn my back on America, that I leave myself open to the leading of the Spirit as to those things that I should be doing since I have this record in my hands. I hope that makes some sense to you, I hope. Let's go to 2 Nephi in the 7th chapter. And this is the reason, this should be a motivation for us to bring it to those people that we have a friendship with or that we care about, because we don't want to see anybody suffer the wrath of God. On page 114, verses 23 through 26, where it says, "Wherefore he that fighteth against Zion, both Jew and Gentile, both bond and free, both male and female, shall perish." It doesn't leave anybody out. If they fight against Zion, it's not going to be a good thing. "For they are they who are the whore of the earth. For they who are not for me are against me, saith our God. For I will fulfill my promises which I have made unto the children of men, that I will do unto them while they are in the flesh." That's a powerful, those are powerful verses there for us to be mindful of and to bring to our to read from time to time, that the Lord in these last days is really making bare his arm to all the nations by bringing forth these things in the last days, and it's causing this separation that is occurring in the world. And we are a part of it. And the Lord is planning to use us in this work. But we have to be ready to be able to be used. Let me go to 3 Nephi in the 12th chapter. The words of Christ. Verses 14 and through 18. And it came to pass that the disciples of Jesus were journeying, and they were preaching in the, the things which they had both heard and seen, and were baptizing in the name of Jesus. It came to pass that the disciples were gathered together and were united in mighty prayer and fasting. And Jesus again shewed himself unto them, for they were praying unto the Father in his name. And Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and said unto them, What will ye that I shall give unto you? And they said unto him, Lord, we will that thou wouldest tell us the name whereby we shall call this church. For there are disputations among the people concerning this matter. And the Lord said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, why is it that the people should murmur and dispute because of this thing? Have ye not read the scriptures which say, Ye must take upon you the name of Christ, which is my name? For by this name shall ye be called at the last day. And whoso taketh upon him my name and endureth to the end, the same shall be saved at the last day. Now, you know, you have been taught that that's the reason why we're called the Church of Christ. But the thing I want you to look in here in this verse of Scripture, it says, when Christ says, ye must take upon you the name of Christ, or my name, it's more deep than just that name. It's the commandments that God has given to the children of men. Because as you go on, it says, if it's called in another person's name, or if it's even called in my name, and if they don't do my works, then they're not of me. So it goes deeper. We have to help people to understand how they can take on the name of Jesus Christ. And sometimes that looks exclusive. You know, when I remember when I was flying over to Africa, and I was sitting next to a man who was one of the chief people that go to prisons all around the world, and he goes to the prisons to teach Christ. And he was quick to say his prayer with me and my meal. And he was telling me all these things that they were involved in and how the Lord has been working with them. And he goes, he's going to some of the worst places I don't think I'd ever want to go to. Russia, China, I mean, the places that are so hard to get into. But he was part of this organization. He was doing that. And, you know, and I sit there and I'm going, how inadequate sometimes I feel. How these individuals are doing these things. Because that's one of the things that Christ said, you know, did you visit me when I was in prison? I don't know, we haven't done that much. And so I was convicted in my heart in some of those things. I tried to explain to him how we, you know, I believe in the Book of Mormon, I'm a preacher and, you know, and different things. And he understood where I was coming from because he wasn't stupid. So sometimes I wonder if we're in that day when Christ was walking on the earth and he said, there's some that are, that the apostles said, well, hey, they're not part of us. I don't know. But one thing I do know is what we've been given. And I'm not going to condemn those people that are doing good works. But I'm going to try the hardest I can to help those who have a desire to understand that God is expecting something more than what maybe you're getting now today. In the 9th chapter of 3 Nephi, and this is my last scripture verse, it's the words of Christ. Well, I take it back. There's going to be two. Let's go to the 14th chapter first. There's three verses of scripture there, and 3 Nephi in the 14th chapter, and specifically to the Gentiles. You can find it on page 681. Here it says, "Hearken, O ye Gentiles, and hear the words of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, which he hath commanded me that I should speak concerning you. For behold, the commandment he commandeth me that I should write, saying, Turn all ye Gentiles from your wicked ways, and repent of your evil doings, of your lyings and deceivings, and your whoredoms, and of your secret abominations, and your idolatries, and your murders, and your priestcrafts, and your envies, and your strifes, from all your wickedness and abomination, and come unto me, and be baptized in my name, that ye may receive a remission of your sins, and be filled with the Holy Ghost, that ye may be numbered with my people, who are of the house of Israel." And this is another one that you might want to remember when you're visiting with your friends. Those words. Here in the 9th chapter, 3rd book of Nephi, this is the last one, verse 23. This is Christ speaking. And I hope that this brings you some hope and joy and cheer in your heart, knowing this. Here it says in verse 22 and 23, this is the words of Christ, "Father, thou hast given them the Holy Ghost because they believe in me, and thou seest that they believe in me because thou hearest them. And they pray unto me, and they pray unto me because I am with them. And now, Father, I pray unto thee for them, and also for all those who shall believe on their words, that they may believe in me, that I may be in them as thou, Father, art in me, that we may be one." Some of the most joyous verses of Scripture I like to read is in the book of John in the 17th chapter, when Christ is praying, and he's praying for you and me. And so it is here recorded in these Scriptures, the words of Christ, as he did among those people long ago. He saw down through the vistas of time, and he prayed for us. And I hope and pray that that gives us hope. That the things that we see around us are those things that are ordained of God that will occur, but he has a plan for each of us. And I pray that we might be able to be part of that plan of God. May God bless you.